This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
How's everybody doing? You fine? Are you good? Okay. we are in a... we'll watch a DVD right at the end, but as a church, as not... this church only, but as a Shofar church, we are busy, let's say, preparing for convergence. Those of you who don't know what convergence is, I haven't been to one for a long time, but every year, all the Shofar churches, at least a lot of the leaders come together, and they meet in Stellenbosch, and you just see God's face, and there's some teachings, and this year, the topic of, let's say, the convergence towards where we're working is the sound of the harvest. Did you hear that last week? Okay, so we're going to watch that little clip at the end of today's sermon again. But we're just working and praying through it. So I want to encourage you. I always said that if one just gets vision as to where one is going, if you know where you're going to, then that vision can sustain one for quite a while. So I want to encourage you to pray into the harvest, because that's what the leaders and Heinrich really felt, is that the sound of the harvest. It sounds funny, but it sounds cool also. But what is it that God wants to tell us about the harvest? People that don't know Him. And so I want you to see God in this. Fast if you can for 40 days. No. Now everybody's awake. 40 days. Fast for 10 days. No. As you want to. I think in small groups and in zone context, we're also going to talk about fasting and praying for it. Everybody can fast differently. If you're not into the fasting thing yet, try and get into it. But it's blessed to seek God in a fast and a prayer, because then it just gets rid of all your own abilities and strength. And when that strength disappears, then God comes and he comes and fill you. So if you haven't fasted before, I want to encourage you, try it. Maybe start slowly. Don't start with a 40-day fast, okay? Don't start with something too big that you can deal with, but just start somewhere. I heard there's all kinds of fasts nowadays. We get very, creative with the fasting nowadays. We fast from Facebook. We fast from social media or whatever. But those are all, in my opinion, fake fasts. But I know I shouldn't say that straight. My wife is here, so I need to be soft and gentle. But fasting is mainly about not eating, okay? but you get different fasts. You also get a Daniel fast. But just the point I want to make out there is, see God in this time so that you're here with us collectively. It's going to be blessed, I can assure you. So I want to talk this morning. I don't know exactly about which one of the three, the sound of the sheep, or the shepherd, or the joy of being saved. I think I'm talking about all of them. But what was nice for me, I also fasted a while ago, and I just got a scripture in Exodus 3, a few scriptures, and then I couldn't figure out what does it mean. But so I thought maybe I didn't hear from God. But then, just a day or two after that, this the sound of the harvest and Heinrich's video came out, and one of the first scriptures was Exodus 3, and so it makes all sense to me. So I'm going to just talk to you about it. Exodus 3. Okay. Before we get that, I'm going to give you a little bit of background and just quickly summarize, and then we'll go into some of the things in detail. But the background or the history to Exodus. Joseph was second in command in Egypt, and then his family came. You know the whole story of Joseph. And then eventually, when they reconciled as a family again, they moved to Egypt. Joseph, his father, his family moved to Egypt. That was in Genesis, right towards the end of Genesis. Now, where we find ourselves in Exodus 3 is now a while after that. So they've moved from Exodus into Egypt. They're living amongst the Egyptians, and they were blessed. God blessed them. They're in Egypt. But God promised to them earlier in Genesis 17 and then I think 29 again, He actually spoke to the Israelites. He said, your promise, and he made even the boundaries of where the promised land would be. And the promised land was not in Egypt. But God sent them to Egypt, and they were blessed. And now God, now this is where we are now. They're in Egypt. So, I mean, they don't mention it, but one can assume a few things that has happened there. So they're in Egypt. They're probably bombarded, I don't know, with the Egyptian gods and what they believe. So I think they're starting to lose their identity a little bit. And what also happened is they were blessed, but now God is seeing that they're being oppressed. So, and this is where God now intervenes, and he says, I want you out of here. And he explains why he wants them out of there. And we'll get to that. But so I'm going to read a lot through Exodus 3, but the four things we're going to touch on today is the first slide there. The first one is Moses had a holy encounter with God. And the key scripture there is Exodus 3, verse 5. Then he said, do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And I'm going to touch on that just now. Let's just go through the four things. But I want to say here that sometimes God is an architect of circumstances, and it can be bad circumstances, to get you to a place where we listen, to get you to a place where you have, when you come to a standstill and where he can actually speak to you. And this is what happened to Moses. I'll talk about that just now. Then God explains to them why he wants them out of Egypt. He says, then the Lord, so God shows us his empathy. His, in Afrikaans word for it, I think is beautiful, for empathy. It's also empathy, but it's meer gevoel. And in Afrikaans it means you feel, it's almost like you feel with him. You're not just look and observe, you're feeling with him. So God indicates why he wants them out of Egypt. Why? Then the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmaster. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. So we're going to get to that. But God's heart is that my people are oppressed. They're under affliction. That's why I want them to move. The third thing is God sends him, the next slide. He sends them with a godly mandate. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. You know, it's, and I'll get to that also. But God doesn't send us without his backing. He doesn't send us into the wilderness and then he's not with us. And we'll look at that, but how God affirms Moses. He says, Moses, and we need to actually stop and pause a little bit. And God explains to him, Moses, you're not going alone. I know you're afraid. I know you've got lots of questions. You don't know how to do this, but you're not going alone. And God is saying that to us also when he sends us. And the last one is, so Moses had all these questions, and God answers them, and then he actually just had to go. He had to go and speak to the people. So the last topic that we'll look at today is sometimes God calls us and we are uncertain, we're unsure, but we've got a vague idea maybe of what we should do, and maybe you get some clarity if you pray. But then it is just the next thing that's needed is some action. It means you step out in faith. And I'll give you, if I remember, I'll give you an example of it. Okay, so let's go to the first one. I read it. The Holy Encounter. Then he said, do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. Now, I'm going to use an example here of this country. But I believe that this country, Namibia, is at a place almost like Moses there is, where God and the people are people that don't know God, and even some people that know God, we're also confused. But this is really a place almost where God is calling this nation to a standstill, because everything is standing still, basically. The economy is standing still. There's no rain, etc. We're in a drought plus an economic thing at the same time. And it's, what are we going to do now? And I believe God is actually talking to us as, I think the whole nation, but as Christians, specifically saying what, and he wants to get us to a place where we stand still and reason with him about these things and almost wrestle with him and say, okay, but what is next? What is the, is this your, are we going to live like this? Or what do you want? So it can be a national thing, it can be a big thing. And I mean, I haven't seen, I'm not that old, but I haven't seen droughts plus economic issues like this combined ever. Ask older people than me that lived in Namibia. I don't think it's existed. This is different. And I think God is trying to speak to us. God is trying to wake us up. Okay, that's one thing. Maybe God is in your own life. Circumstances could work out that they're not fantastic, whatever. Sometimes, many times, God needs to get us to a place where he says, I want to speak to you. Stand still. Maybe you're going through that as a person. Stop seeing it as a negative. Seeing it as a place, I don't want to use the word opportunity and all that stuff, but it's just get to your knees and ask God, what are you trying to tell me? Because I believe he will tell you something. We can sometimes be in this, we can be in a bad space, and we don't ask, and we don't hear, and then we stay in that bad space. God doesn't want us to stay there. Where are you this morning? Are there some circumstances? It doesn't always have to be bad things, but God wants to get us to, God wants us to have a type of relationship with him so that every now and then you can just, you know, be sensitive to what he's saying. Amen. All right. The second one, that was the holy encounter. I believe as a Namibia, as a general, we need to pray. But I'm excited at the same time and worried, plus excited. I'm not sure what I am, but you know, if you want to know how bad it is, ask to some farmers. Speak to some farmers. You can speak to any farmer. Normally, when we had a drought, you had some areas in the country where people wouldn't be affected. There's nothing like that left in Namibia. Speak to any farmer. He'll talk to you. You will understand the severity of the situation we are in. So we need to pray for rain. Are you here with me? But I think God wants us to tell us something else before he sends the rain. So let's just open our ears. Okay, let me go on. Let's look at the godly empathy. What does that mean? Exodus 3 verse 7. The scriptures are up there. Then the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings and have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel have come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. God's heart was for his people to be delivered. In that scripture also, God speaks about the promised land. God wants to remind them. And it says, listen, this is not what I had for you. This isn't it all that I have for you. So I think God is telling us two things there. The first thing is, it says, and I'm just asking the question is, do we have empathy? Do we see what's going on? I used the example in my own life. The other day we went with Freddie to his, call it a soup kitchen in Mondesa. Now, maybe you even drive there. Maybe with your own issues at the back of your head. Oh, I wish I had this and I wish I had this. And then when you drive back from that, you drive back without it. Because your issues are left there. Because you see, there's other people, the majority, the masses, that have, in our eyes, less than nothing. And the question that I have here is, oh, not me, but is, and God speaks about it, Solomon also, and he speaks, he says to him, I hate injustice. What injustice? And he explains it, I hate it when the poor are being oppressed. I hate it when the widows are suffering. God hates that kind of stuff. And he wants us to have that empathy like he has it. So whenever you have whenever your own issues in life gets too much, go to a soup kitchen in Mondesa. Go to a mission trip. Go on a mission trip. And your issues disappear. Am I saying God doesn't want to hear our needs? No. There just needs to be a balance. And I love that balance. I love it when God brings that balance in my own life, because I can try and manufacture it and it'll all be fake and it won't work, etc. But when God shows us the need of the people out there, and He does something in your heart and it stirs your heart, you feel with them, you know, life starts to make sense, I can almost say. Are you with me? And then another thing that so the question is, where is our hearts? The oppression that I talk about is not only poor people. We get into contact with so many people. They're not necessarily poor financially, but they can be poor in spirit, poor in emotionally, poor, drained, oppressed, marital issues, lots of issues. And our hearts must be, God, where can I help? Where can I help? Where can I just be a vessel? Where can I just say a word of encouragement? And then God also speaks about the promised land, something I felt this morning, and I just want to share it with you again. Maybe some of you are sitting here, and we'll look at another definition later of what God's name is. But some of the promises that God has made to you personally have become stale, like that old piece of bread. It's not as nice anymore. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to touch it. Maybe it's like, you know, it's like a promise, but it's just full of dust, of life. Life that is just happened around you, and the thing is full stuff. But you know what? God reminds them here of where I wanted to take you. So I want to say that maybe life has hit you hard, and it has smothered those promises. But they don't change, those promises. They do not change. We change. Circumstances change. But Jesus does not change. If He said that once, He doesn't take it away. The gifts of God is irrevocable. He gives it, and we think God, we're kind of stupid, and I'm talking to myself. You know, we come to Christ, and we realize, oh, it's through grace. Wow, I'm getting something for free. Then we start walking with Him, and then we promise this, and we make mistakes, and now we think, oh, He took it away now, because I messed up. So we're almost arrogant in thinking, and I'm saying to myself, because now I'm going to follow God without making mistakes. And that's how I'll keep unto these promises. That's arrogant. We're going to make mistakes. Not that we want to, not that we try and make lots of mistakes, but His grace doesn't go away. So we judge God and we think that the promises disappear. You know, we might make lots of mistakes and it could be difficult for us to get back to God's promises, etc. But they don't change. He doesn't take them back. Because He's a gracious God. Amen? Amen? So, I want you to pray about your own life, the promises that God has made in your life. Seek them out. Wrestle with God. They're not gone. Matthew 9, verse 36 to 38. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in the meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. When He looked out over the crowds, His heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, He said to His disciples. How few workers, on your knees and pray for the harvest hands. This is a picture of God having that same empathy. And Heidi and I talk about it often. We just, as Christians also, you know, Christians don't bypass certain strategies in life. I think we bypass some of them, and that's God's heart, but some we don't bypass. We go through the same stuff. A lot of us sitting here this morning are going through the same financial issues. A lot of our relationships are probably not also as great as they could be. We go through the same stuff. We lose loved ones, the same as people that don't serve God. But we have a Holy Spirit, which name means He's the one next to us. He's with us constantly. So even if you don't have lots of Christian friends who can pray for you or whatever, we have a Holy Spirit that we can talk to with about these things. We have got a partner that goes with us through these things. And that people don't even have that. They've got nowhere where they can offload, open that valve and just go, take some of this. I can't anymore. Lots of people, people with money, people without money, carrying burdens. And Jesus looks at him and says, oh man, these people just need a shepherd. They just need something. And you know what? We are those shepherds. We are the people that come into contact with him. You don't have to. Yeah. You know, Jesus, when he saw people that are hungry, he gave them food. He didn't preach at them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes we think we need to, maybe it's just me, but maybe it's evangelistic thing. We want people, the only thing we want is them to give their lives to God and repent right there in front of us, and that's it. If that doesn't happen, God doesn't work. That is not necessary. Sometimes we can just give a word of encouragement that can be the first seed that brings this person, or at least exposes him to the goodness of God. And then maybe there's a next step and somebody else plants a seed, and then maybe he gets saved later. But Jesus didn't. Yes, he wanted their souls to be saved. That's what he says there. But when they were hungry, he just gave them food. So sometimes we just need to meet a need somewhere and be that hand. Isaac, can you hear me? Are you with me? Does it make sense? All right. I'm still with godly empathy. Isaiah 61. I don't have all the scriptures up there of Isaiah 61, so I'll read through it, and you can just make notes or. But I'll discuss two things here. This scripture just summarizes it beautifully. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim release from confinement and condemnation to the physical and spiritual captives, and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance and retribution, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion the following, to give them a turban instead of dust, on their heads a sign of mourning, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. That's the first part where God says, I just want to bring joy instead of mourning. I want to give a garment of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. How many people, maybe even some of us here this morning, that's fine, God can help us. But people that we come in contact with are just walking around with a disheartened spirit. They're walking with these heavy burdens on their shoulders. And Jesus says, that's why I came. But the second part, which I found amazing, is God looks at these people and he says, yes. And he's telling us, I want you to do this, be this, the hands and the feet. But then he looks at those same people that are in those broken state, and this is what he says then to them. So they will be called the trees of righteousness, strong and magnificent, distinguished for integrity, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up and restore the former desolations, and they will renew the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Can you see, God doesn't just see people in pain and he says, I want to uplift them. He says, you know what, and when I do that, I'm going to use you to fix stuff in this world. We sometimes look, and I know I'm part of it, we look at people and we're like, oh God, we just want them to get saved or something. But God sees even more than that. He sees beyond that. He says, you know, when I touch your life, if we can just connect, then I see what you've been called for. I see that in that broken state, I'm going to use that, and you're going to bring glory to my name. And I want to awaken something in you almost. It's like God wants us to look with prophetic eyes at people, because sometimes we just see all the issues. God sees something behind the issues, and he actually sees people that he wants to raise up. He calls them his army. They're going to restore the ruins. Amen? And I can just, I don't know if I can give examples. But sometimes God will, if you really pray about somebody, he'll give you a prophetic word about him. Sometimes that prophetic word will do nothing about the current situation they are in. It will speak beyond it. Because that's what people sometimes need, vision of where to go to. And Christians are the only people that can unlock the prophetic where we don't see the natural and the physical in front of us. We actually speak into the prophetic realm of what God wants. The devil can't do that. We can see the potential with the Holy Spirit in us and unlock that in people's lives. Amen? So you must get excited. I'm excited about, I need to be careful. There's three small groups that we go to. And I'm so excited about some of the people in the small groups that have just come to God, and the history that they've been through is chaotic and messed up. But it's fantastic because they're in the right place. And we don't know how to deal with everything. We're like, the recipes don't work anymore. The recipes, they just don't work. But we're excited because they're at the right spot. So all we're trying to figure out, God, come on, help us. Tell us what to do. What should we say next? It's fun. It's great. Amen. Okay, I need to move on a bit. So God calls. He shows us the empathy. Then God also sends us with his backing, his backup staff. We use it in our work quite a lot. They want to see your experience, but then also want to see, but okay, what's your backup? If something happens to you, what backup plan do you have? And God sends us not only alone, he sends us with backup. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to this people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Now, if you study that a little bit, the word the God I am means just Yahweh. But God is reminding Moses here of something, and he's saying a few things. Do I have it up there? Next one, until we get to godly mandate. It'll get there. But he's reminding them of the God that he is. And you must remember, they had God's breakthroughs fresh in their minds. That was the stories that they told. So God is, in a sense, telling Moses, I am Moses. I am sending you. I am the one that got you in Egypt. I'm the one that's going to get you out of Egypt. You have experienced my breakthroughs in my hand on your life. Now, do you think I've changed? I'm going to be the same. That's what I did to you 50, 100 years ago. I'm going to do it to you now, and I'm going to promise I'm going to do it to you again. Wake up. I'm not a human being. I'm God. I don't change. I'm standvastig. What's that? I am faithful and I'm constant. I don't change. The promises that I made for you also, he's reminding Moses of, that I made then is the same now. It's never changed, and it will be the same tomorrow. So you're going with my backing, and you've actually experienced it and seen it. So almost like, just think differently here now. Don't think like you think. Don't think that the circumstances are too big. You have seen me come through. Now go with that attitude and talk to the people and say to them, I am sending you. God reassures Moses. God is reassuring you this morning that the promises that he's given you, they're not over. When he spoke to you that, when you experienced it, you felt it, wow, amazing. Maybe you don't feel like that anymore. That doesn't matter how you feel. Who is sending you? Who promised you? It's not humans that promised, because that changes constantly. I am promised. That's why he's saying also, I'm the God of Abram, of Isaac, and of Jacob. I'm a generational God. I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you. How are you feeling this morning? Is God going with you? Do you feel alone? Do you feel that you may be struggling through certain things in your life by yourself? I want to tell you, it's a lie. And it's not always based on our emotions. That's probably also why he had to say it. It's not how you feel now. You're oppressed and you're in Egypt. You're going to get out of here, so just focus. I'm sending you. I am. And I believe God wants to use Christians and us now, especially in a nation and a situation like we are finding ourselves now, where it looks horrible and blah, blah, blah. God wants to say, but it doesn't matter what it looks like. What am I saying? Now go and say that and tell that to the people. Amen. Okay, the last part. Is it the last part? I'm not sure. Are you still awake? If you're not, it's your problem. I'm enjoying it. The last part is God says, okay, he's promised everything. And then he says, okay, Moses, you must just go now. Go and speak to the people. That's the last part I want to talk about. And I want to read you Luke 12, verse 11 to 12. When you are brought before the synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how to defend yourselves or what to say, for at that time the Holy Spirit will teach you what you should say. What speaking am I talking about? I hope I'm making myself clear here. But the mandate that God sends us, and I think it's specifically, and I hope the video we're watching is about the same thing. I think it is. But it is the mandate that the Shofar Church specifically has. We're not the only one with it. But specifically have is to be prophetically relevant, to prophesy. So the speaking that I want to talk about here is not just a, hi, God bless you. It is prophetically speaking into people's lives. Looking, praying, seeing some things prophetically and speaking that into people's lives. Are you with me? Proverbs 18:21 says, the words kill, words give life. They are either poison or fruit. You choose. Jeremiah 1 verse 9 to 10, it says, then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. See, I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. That is a prophetic mandate that God is giving them there. He's giving Jeremiah there. And God is giving us the same. He says, I want to touch your tongue so that you have been set over nations again to pluck up and to break down, not to break down the good things, but to break down certain things, strongholds in a nation, in somebody's life, and to rebuild godly things, to upbuild, to uplift a nation. But it's a prophetic thing, and God needs to touch our tongues. So I want to say to you, for example, you know, if you pray for people and you're discouraged, listen, I'm also there. I also have people that I pray for, and I'm also discouraged. But I want to give you almost the freedom. Say, go and pray for those people specifically. Maybe fast for them. And then you say, God, speak to me specifically about this person. Ask God to give you a prophetic word. Maybe not a prophetic word, but a prophetic thing you must do or something. But just where we can move away from doing things in the natural and where God can put his prophetic anointing on stuff. And then see what he tells you about people. I'm telling you, he's going to tell you something about everybody you pray about like that. Because that is his heart. He hates people that are oppressed. Sorry, he doesn't hate people. He hates people being oppressed and afflicted. He wants to set them free. And he wants to download the things into your mind, your spirit, and you speak it. God said, Moses, okay, fine, I've sorted everything out. Now you must go. I'm not going. You go. God wants to send us prophetically in this nation. I want to say something, Charles has shared in the first service. You know, Yaku is doing this One Hope thing in schools. Now, at first I thought, hey, great, another program. Now, I'm telling you, I believe, no, I don't want to speak too soon and whatever, you can test it. But we're speaking to Bruna. Bruna is doing it in schools. The summary I can give you is that the government schools of Namibia are absolutely starving for spiritual direction. Yes, I think you'll find a few difficult principles every now and then, but in general, speak to Bruna. She just got a testimony of what happened to her last week. In general, they are starving. They're like, please, can somebody just give us direction here? Please, can somebody just do something here? And now we've got the tools, which we get for free. And I'm telling you, God wants to implement that thing in every school in this nation, and we must trust God for it to happen. So that's prophetic. Now we can start thinking differently, pray differently. So now we don't just pray for that school there. Some people will just focus on that school, but I'm telling you, we need to start praying. Say, God, get us into contact with the Minister of Education, or if he doesn't want to listen, the President, or whatever. This is how we need to start thinking. This is prophetic. And say, God, we want to take, oh, not we, Christ wants to take over these schools because the kids are, man, they're drowning. They're drowning spiritually with what they're going through. My kid is in a private school. I'm blessed to put her in a private school. I don't know if I can say any of these things. But to me, that looks a lot more, there's just, it's like the teachers at least have handles on things there. You know, there's also work to be done there, but it's just, they're in better hands, I can say. The government schools are crying out. Maybe they don't even know it. My point is, who's going to change it? Somebody must action something, and Yaku did it. And he said, I'm going to do this, and now it happens. That's how stuff works, prophetically. In other areas of life, in Namibia, in your small group, in this town, we need to step it up. We can step it up. It's not even like, you need to step it up. That's not what I'm trying to say. I want to excite you to say that God wants to speak to you in that way so that we stop looking at the small issues and God starts speaking to us about the big stuff. Anyway, I get excited about that. And we're all different. That's also fine. Maybe your heart's not exactly like that. Maybe you just want to focus on one school or your small group. It's also okay. But we can all live prophetically relevant. And that's what I believe. That's not the only thing where Jesus looks at that crowd and he's like, what? Somebody just needs to give them direction. Because this world suffocates anything that's from God in our lives. Amen. But Jesus wants to make it all alive. Okay, I'm going to close off with this last one in Ezekiel. Not all the scriptures are up there. And we are... Oh, we also have a DVD to watch. Okay, so I'll just read it quickly and then we can close off. But it speaks about the valley of the dry bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me and he brought me out. It's Ezekiel 37. And he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, I think God is taking us through times like this, personally, in a bigger setting, I don't know. But God is, in this case, he's taking Ezekiel and he's making a bit of a scene out of it, I would say. And he says, Ezekiel, look here. And then he says, walk around. And it looks bad. And then he also asks him, what does he ask him? Son of man. Can these bones live? Now, if God asks you that question, I'm glad he doesn't ask me. But I guess Ezekiel was like, I don't know if they can live. But his answer was quite good, I must say. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Oh, Lord God, you know. So he didn't say yes or no. He said, but God, you know what the answer is. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and you will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied and I was as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound and behold, a rattling and the bones came together, bones to its bone. And I looked and behold, there were sinews on them and flesh came upon them and the skin that covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and he commanded me, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. I'll just say a few things about that scripture. God shows him this bad picture. And we sometimes see this. This is what all we see sometimes. Oh, Lord, Namibia. My situation. And then God takes you and says, okay, well, come stop a bit here. He says, what do you see? Can this stuff live? And he says, yeah, it can live. I don't know, God, you tell me. And then he says, okay, but prophesy over it. So he prophesies the first time. And things happen, but there's still no breath in it. And he says, prophesy again. And he prophesies again and then it comes alive. And he says, it's an exceedingly great army. In our lives personally, there can be dry bones. God is going to ask you to prophesy over them. In our country, there can be dry bones. God's going to ask us to prophesy over them. So that's what he did with Ezekiel. He said, prophesy, prophesy. Sometimes maybe we have to prophesy three times because we're not as cool and as committed as Ezekiel. But can you see, he started off with seeing with his natural eyes and he was like, ah, And then God started helping him, and he started seeing with his spiritual eyes, and he said, this can work. This can work. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.